I just tell myself, I choose to be positive. I'm going to be positive. And that's it.
When I was a little girl playing in my father's office, I dreamed of learning how to code. But my dad wasn't a coder. He was a businessman. And I never got to learn how. And it's been something that I've been curious about my whole life. And now this whole world is startup and tech crazy. You got to check out Hack Reactor. Even if you've been curious and you want to improve your skills and you're working in the marketing department and you happen to have to learn how to do HTML and you want to take it that much further, Hack Reactor is the trusted environment to go to become the best programmer that you could possibly be. Not only will you get the education, but you'll get the support from them to make sure that you're not alone in the journey. HackReactor.com.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast in Lisbon, Portugal. I feel so grateful that I've been able to interview the most outstanding women in tech. And we have yet another here with me at the home co-working space, right in the heart of Lisbon. Hello, Christina. How are you?
Hey, doing very well. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Now, Christina, are you Portuguese?
Yes, I'm Portuguese.
Okay. I just always like to get that out of the way because we've had so many incredible people that some of them like are living in Lisbon, but they're not Portuguese, right? Yeah. And so go ahead and introduce yourself and tell me about your company.
So I'm Christina Fonseca. I co-founded TalkDesk in 2011, a couple of years ago. So TalkDesk allows company to create a call center really easily. So we were the first company doing like the modern version of call centers. So instead of you having to go set up your call center with an old telecom provider and pay like a bunch of money for a physical infrastructure, we use the cloud power to make it happen in the cloud. So we made it very, very simple for companies to set up. And we now have like amazing customers.
So a few questions, obviously. Let's start with how big is your company?
So the company is now 200 people. We raised around $25 million from well-known US investors, DFJ, Storm Ventures, Salesforce Ventures. So we were the first company, the first Portuguese company doing a US accelerator. That's why like we ended up being really a model for the ecosystem or a very positive example, which is great.
Which accelerator?
So we did 500 startups, batch
so
three.
So sexy.
So, oh my goodness.
So sexy. Who doesn't love 500? 500 startups is like a cool t-shirt you want to wear at this point.
Of course. Yeah. So yeah, we did batch three in 2011. Me and my co-founder, we were super young. I think I was 23. I was actually one of the good things were like we were so naive, but we had such a dose of ambition and like, I don't know, I'm not sure I can explain it. And things just happened.
Yeah.
And it was great proof that you can like live in Portugal, be here, but you are made of the same thing as people in the US
totally.
That attended like all the Ivy League universities that went to Stanford. And for some time, we were not sure that was the case.
Right.
But then like we ended up in this amazing ecosystem and we could understand, no, like we are all made of the same. So if they can do it, we can do it as well. And that was kind of the beginning.
That's awesome. So I have quite a few questions. One, of course, what inspired you to create the company?
So what inspired us to create the company at that point was a couple of failed experiences we had before. So when I left university, and I think it was due to like I had a really bad pneumonia when I was in the university, and I was in the intensive care unit
what?
For 5 days. It was like crazy, and then I got a little bit like rebel after that.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to waste my time. Like leaving other people's lives or doing something that the society had thought, okay, like you are the good girl, you are going to follow this path, you are going to like go to a McKinsey or a Deloitte or join a big corporation. And I thought like, no way, I'm going to spend my life and waste my time doing what others expect me to
do. Right.
So I ended up not accepting any job offer during like when I finished my master's.
Right.
And I started exploring a couple of tech projects with my co-founder. We've got to be able to create something with our hands. Like
right,
we have this fancy degree that so I'm a software engineer. That's my background. So we started experimenting. And we built like a couple of web projects, startups, whatever you want to call them, like nothing really big or successful. But that taught us a lot. And at some point we thought, well, every time some of our customers or the people that want to use what we are building, every time they want to contact us, we go and look for information everywhere. We're going to like check LinkedIn, check Facebook, check all the social networks, check our internal databases. Like, it's stupid that there's no tool that does this automatically.
Right, right.
And if I'm on the phone, I cannot say, hold on a second, I'm going to like stalk you online and see and try to find everything
so
about you.
Yeah.
So then we put Twilio, which is a company that ran IPO last year. They launched the contest to whose prize was a MacBook Air. And we're so tired, like after all these failed experiences.
Right.
This is not working. We need to stop and think and maybe find a job because we've been 1 year trying to come up with something.
And by the way, Twilio is one of the sexiest tech companies. Pretty much any tech company that uses calling, like Uber, any of the call, like if you have to call through the app, usually Twilio powers it.
Exactly. So we have customers like Dropbox, like Shopify, like all those big tech companies end up using us because they don't want to deal with the old school providers. So we built a very nice service on top of Twilio. And the only motivation at first was to win a MacBook.
I love that. Did you win the MacBook?
Yeah, so we won the contest and then we were
invited. Do you still have the MacBook?
Actually, then the MacBook was so the MacBook came to Portugal and they were...
went on a journey.
We had to pay taxes.
On the
and
MacBook.
And it was a prize. And we were like so pissed off because like we had no money.
Yeah.
And how come we have to pay taxes for the MacBook we got as a prize? And then we ended up going to the U.S. To participate in a startup competition. And they said, okay, don't get the MacBook. The MacBook will come. And then they gave us like a voucher. And we ended up...
That's so funny. I know about Price. So I won the Price is Right. Do you know the game show? There's a huge game show in America called the Price is Right. And I won a car and I had to pay taxes on the car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
so like, I know about the prizes and the taxes. It's like such a buzzkill.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you have to weigh out, well, is the price of the taxes worth the item? Yeah.
Yeah. It was at the point, but like we were so, and then we had to get a letter. It was like major a drama just to get the MacBook. And then we ended up getting equivalent vouchers in the U.S. But it was hilarious. We went to the U.S. to participate in a startup competition right after. And then we started getting interest from 500 startups, AngelPath. And then we ended up going to 500.
It's so exciting. So you're a software engineer. When did you first fall in love with technology?
I don't know exactly. I think I have my brain is all... works the engineering way. So I'm very like problem solution. And I think it probably comes from my father. Both my parents are very practical, but my father is really, really hands-on and he likes to assemble and disassemble things. And when I was a child, like he really likes to explain me things. So he used to like do that a lot. Like, hey, this is how it works, blah, blah, blah. So I think I got a little bit of that from my family. And I always knew I wanted to do something related with engineering, you know, like the logical thinking, all that.
Right, right.
Since like early age.
And what do you program in?
Oh, so I studied telecommunications and networks engineering. So that means I programmed in like Java, C++, C#. All kinds of languages. Like more recently, it's a lot of like Ruby, JavaScript, Python, which are like the web languages.
Right.
So that's more common nowadays. But I don't even know how many languages I learned.
Do you identify as a woman in tech or just as a founder?
I identify as a woman in tech because like even being in the operations of a company, I really feel I'm a techie. I really like to improve efficiency in everything. I think like an engineer, and I still like to do the a little bit of the technical side of things.
Right, right.
I find it like fascinating. It's super powerful.
But being a female specifically, Mm-hmm. Like I've never identified as like a female founder. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I'm a founder.
I don't give a lot of weight to like the female part. I'm a founder, period. I'm competent for what I do, not for what I'm perceived of or I like to be judged by my capabilities and mm-hmm. my responsibilities, not by like being a female. I don't think that makes sense at all. And there's those moments where you are discriminated or there's weird moments where by being a female, you are treated in like a slightly different way. And I just decide to ignore that because I don't think that's right.
Right.
To put a stamp on you like, hey, I'm different. I'm a female. Like that doesn't make any sense from my perspective.
And you said your company is about 200 people, mm-hmm. which is crazy. And you've raised over 25 million.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So the reason I say that is because there's so many people listening right now, absolutely in awe and inspired by you, because of course it's difficult to raise money mm-hmm. and it's difficult to grow a company, period. So what are some of the things that really helped maintain your strength and your clarity to be able to achieve these things?
I think it all starts with a product that people need. And everything comes after. Of course, it's not easy, but I think being a girl in these situations helps a little bit because you are more aware of the environment. You can capture like messages that maybe are not that clear. So speaking with customers, trying to understand what the problem is, then helps you come up with a product that really solves their problems. And I think that was the key at the beginning. It was like, what's the product that really solves our customers' issues? And then things happen. If you create value, that's the only thing we need to focus on at the beginning is how do I create value? And then it's easier. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's easier.
How do you take those initial steps? Like, what would you recommend if someone came up to you today and said, I wanna be you one day? Where would you suggest to them they start their path?
That's a kind of broad question, but first, I believe everyone should at least know a little bit of tech. Like you should know like English, a second language, and a technical language. I think that's key.
And where would they study that?
You have like Udacity, you have Coursera, you have all the online ways to learn. It's super easy to learn. Find a buddy. Like the internet is the place to start if you don't know, but
Google is your best
Google
friend.
Google is your best friend. I think that's a very interesting way to start. And then I also believe it's very good to develop like kind of a problem solution mindset. If you look around and you can spot like tremendous amount of problems that you could potentially solve. So if you are aware, just by being aware of the problems that there are around you, you start having like, maybe there's a solution here I can explore. And I guess like this combination gives you like superpowers.
I like superpowers. And tell me more about the Lisbon tech culture. I mean, I discovered this by accident. I was in Spain. I was in Barcelona, which is another huge tech hub mm-hmm. for Europe. And someone said, do you know Lisbon is like accelerating to become a really significant tech hub in Europe? And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I flew here. Tell me more about the Lisbon tech scene.
So Lisbon, maybe like 6 years ago when we started, you would say like, I'm an entrepreneur and people would look at you like, what the hell are you talking about? So fortunately right now, first, I think the government also made a push, although that's not enough. But the reality is that there's five or six big companies that went outside, did like accelerators, have like big investment rounds. So, and then like, of course we have the weather is very nice. People speak English like decently and we have like very good engineering schools.
Right.
So that's all together makes like a very interesting mix. And the reality is that even companies from outside are moving to Lisbon. So Pipedrive, like in another episode of you were talking about
yeah.
that because you were in Estonia.
Yeah,
I remember.
For 2 weeks. Wait, Pipedrive is moving to Lisbon?
Pipedrive is opening an office.
Yeah. But they're staying in Estonia because they're one of the leading tech companies in Estonia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, but they are growing so much that they needed like a third city to establish themselves.
Oh, wow.
And they chose Lisbon.
Incredible.
And we have other companies moving, like opening offices from London here. And another good thing is that the companies that are established here are able to relocate talent from like the UK, the US, multiple locations, because Lisbon is not like the unknown city anymore. And they are at least curious and willing to consider that.
So cool.
This is like such a mix of factors that's making Lisbon a very interesting city.
And tell me about, there's both Startup Lisbon and Startup Portugal, right? Mm-hmm. Two different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what roles they serve in the community.
Okay, so Startup Lisbon is mainly like an incubator that was created like 4 or 5 years ago. So it's like an incubation space. Mm-hmm. So people can be in the center of Lisbon, like near here. They are with other entrepreneurs, and they have a couple a small ecosystem. They have legal support. They have accountants. They have a network that they can use and helps like you bootstrap your business pretty much. And then Startup Portugal is a bigger initiative by the government. So there's a couple of co-investment funds for business angels that have like tax benefits, for example, if they invest in startups. And there's a couple of like, it's like a bigger initiative. They created another one related with Industry 4.0, which is like the new industry revolution. So Startup Portugal, it's like a bigger initiative promoted by the government. That's all about promoting the entrepreneurship in Portugal.
So what's next for you?
What's next for me? I don't know. It's a difficult question. I keep my mindset of exploring problems and trying to come up with solutions. One of the areas I'm super, super interested in right now is machine learning and how technology is going to change in the future, and it's going to change the future. So I'm really, really trying to explore that. And also, one of the things that I believe the community needs more is to have the big companies and corporations evolve and innovate faster.
Right.
Because that's a key aspect of the ecosystem. No company that starts in Lisbon can test their technology here. That's why most of the companies, they born global, because there's no way, like it's 10 million people, is not enough for you to deploy a solution and prove the solution to be scalable. And then when you go outside to investors, they'll look at you and ask like, okay, but is that like a lucky thing? Or is that because there's no other solution in Portugal that does what you're trying to do? Or is that really a solution that scales? And that's also because like our companies are old school, a little bit like slow to move and to adapt. And I'm honestly trying to make sense of a lot of things. I did Singularity University recently, which was a very, very interesting program from the perspective that I spent like 2 months, 2.5 months understanding how the future will be like. And that's like insane. If we think about like what changed in the last 10 years and we apply kind of the same rationale to the next 10 years, oh my gosh.
And is this a program you accessed online or you went somewhere?
No, it's a very interesting program in the United States, in California. Mm-hmm. It's in Mountain View in the NASA campus. So it's kind of like, it's crazy. So you live at NASA, you work there, like you spend your time there, you live on campus. And you have classes by all these crazy people, all the innovators that teach you about the latest technologies, be it like machine learning, robotics, biotech, all kinds of things. And like your brain hurts sometimes because it's lots and lots of information.
How do you apply to be a part of this program?
So actually applications are open right now. It's called the Global Solutions Program. It's sponsored by Google, so you don't even have to pay. It's amazing. Just go online.
Especially in the States, not to have to pay for education.
So you go to singularityuniversity.org and you can apply to the program.
Amazing.
Totally recommend that.
What would you say you've learned about yourself in achieving your dreams throughout the years?
you need to believe in you. Most of the problems you face have been solved before and are problems like people have everywhere. So you need to like not take the problems like super serious. There's a solution for everything. And just be positive. I'm super positive, and I think that's part of I always believe I can do everything. I know that's not true, but I decide to believe in that.
I met you, and I feel like you're someone that could probably pretty much do about anything.
So you know, I think that's part of. I think just being positive is part of what you need.
And of course, you're human, so you have days that are a bit harder than other days. What do you do to overcome challenges?
I think I listen to music. It energizes me, and I just tell myself, I choose to be positive. I'm going to be positive, and that's it. And I read. I think that helps a lot. Like get new ideas from books is a good exercise.
That's awesome. How can people find you online?
LinkedIn, Facebook a little bit, Medium.
Are you on Twitter? You're trying
on
to write
Twitter.
Your Medium post. What's your Twitter handle?
CN Fonseca.
And can you spell it?
CNFONSECA, my last name.
And on Medium, I guess it's same, the same.
It's the same.
Cool. Yeah. What are your posts about on Medium?
A little bit about tech, about it's tech pretty much, and innovation and entrepreneurship in general. That's pretty much it.
Who would you say is a woman in tech that you really look up to?
Well, I wish there were more and more role models. You follow a little bit of Sheryl Sandberg and all the like GE CEO and Cisco. There's a Portuguese CEO here in Portugal. So there's a couple of success cases, but there's no one we need more. Honestly, yeah. We need more.
Thank you so much for spending time with the Women in Tech podcast. Your story is super inspiring. First of all, I love the range of technology that you're interested in. And I like the way that you perceive the world. But I think that so many people are going to be inspired hearing your story and how you are able to achieve things that are quite literally impossible most of the time.
Great pleasure to be here. Like, thank you so much and welcome to Lisbon.
Thank you. You guys, if you want to connect with more incredible women in tech, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group, which is womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. It takes you straight there so you don't have to fish around. Also, at Women in Tech Show on Twitter, you could tweet at me or at Esprit Devora. And I want to just give a huge thank you again to Home Lisbon Hostel. You guys are amazing. HomeLisbonHostel.com. They have this awesome co-working space right next door to the hostel where seriously they make you dinner every night, like a home cooked meal. And they have these cozy couches. And then they have this focused work environment with awesome people in tech. And I can't say enough good things about this place from complete sincerity. They didn't pay me or anything. I just think they're amazing. I'm so blown away. And yeah, just thank you for being a part of the experience with
thank
the Women
so
in
much.
Tech podcast. Bye guys.
To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech show is a WeAreTech.fm production.